Good morning. Good to have all of y'all this morning. See a lot of faces that are familiar. See a lot of faces that are not familiar. But anyway, it's good to have y'all. I want to take a few minutes this morning to introduce you to some people. First off, my sister and her husband, Tommy. I told Tommy, they go to the Methodist Church in Danville, and I told Tommy that I was going to get him to come up and say a few words, and he told me he wasn't going to come up. So anyway, it's good to have y'all. I want to introduce you to the rest of my family. Todd, his wife Debbie, Sarah, Anna, Connor, and Kyle. Kyle's in the back. Todd's oldest son. He lives in Williamsburg. Okay. Tracy's in Arizona, so they're not here. Y'all stand. All right. Savory is in Colorado. She's the oldest daughter. Next one in the line is Jason. Jason and his friend Laura, they have two sons and a daughter. The daughter's not here today, but Tyler and Jackson, they're over in the corner back there. Okay, the next one in line is Michelle. Michelle and Sam. Sam's a state trooper over in Victoria. Their kids are Jessica, Jaden. And this tie that I've got on, Peyton gave me this for Christmas. Peyton, and the little girl with the ponytail that had the John Deere, that's Carly, and then they have Mariah in the bassinet back there. And Greg is the next, and his wife, Grace, and their daughter, Ainsley, and another one will be here August. So, nice to have y'all. What? I'll tell you what, it cost me a lot. Huh? Oh, Dan, she's part of the troop. She's, Dan's in here every Sunday. But anyway, she's just as special as the rest. Stand up, Dad. But anyway, we had a good Christmas. The Lord blessed us. And during the Christmas, we had on the 23rd, had all the kids over, and we spread all the presents out. And we had all 12 grandkids, all 11 of them, because Chaley wasn't there. They were in the floor, and they just scattered paper everywhere. And they had, that was one of the best Christmases. That I've had. And I asked them, at that time, if they would come down and worship with us, that I was going to. Y'all asked me to speak on the 9th. I knew that was Betty's birthday. So it's great, you know, to have them here this morning. And before we get started, y'all get up and introduce yourself to one another and tell one another that you love them. Then we'll break God's word.
Grandma Ashworth and Great Grandma Ashworth got somebody back there too.
Hi.
Right. Good morning. Good morning.
Who? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's good to see Betty.
Yes, thank you. Okay. You know, that's what happens when you give the Baptists, you know, the freedom. But also I want to recognize somebody else, you know, while we're here this morning. Marjorie King and Beth. Marjorie came in this morning, you know, she was holding that great-grandbaby. Looked so natural. And Beth, beaming with pride with that grandson. Y'all stand up and show us that baby. This is Cameron. Anyway, if you've got your bulletin, you'll see what I titled the sermon. How will you be remembered? Rather personalize it and say, how will I be remembered? And you personalize that and you say to yourself, how will I be remembered? See, a lot of people out here in the graveyard, their history. But one day, not in the too distant past, they were sitting in this church just like you are. A lot of them. And how they remembered. How will you be remembered? And that's a question that all of us need to answer. I see Brenda, she's laughing. She and I talked about this a little bit last night. But how will you be remembered? I'd like for you to take the Bibles in the pew in front of you, turn to 2 Samuel. And look at verse 13 and 14. And David made himself a name when he returned from killing 18,000 Syrians in the Valley of Salt. He also put garrisons in Edom. Through it all Edom, he put garrisons, and all the Edomites became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel, and David administered justice and justice to all his people. That's just the beginning of the story. God had told the Israelites that don't do anything to the Edomites. They are relatives of yours. They're Jacob's. When Joab, who was the army captain of David, when he went into the valley and he slayed 18,000 Syrians, that was a guy there by the name of Hadad. He was a young boy. He and his family fled into Egypt. After Solomon's death, David's death, he came back. And he was a thorn in Solomon's side all the days of his life because he witnessed what David's general did there in the valley when he slew the 18,000. I don't care where you go in life or what happens as far as your life is concerned, people see you. And you make an impression. That impression could be good. That impression could be bad. And God has given us special purposes for being here on the earth. And what God wants us to do is to realize what the purpose is that He has. We'll give you a few illustrations. Abraham. God gave Abraham a vision that he was going to be the father of a great nation. Sarah was old. So what happened? She gave Abraham the handmaiden, Hagar. Came about Ishmael. Ishmael is the father of the Arab nation. What happened? Well, we're recipients of what happened there because they've been fighting for ages. Then came along Isaac. Isaac was born. God told Abraham, said, take him up. I want you to sacrifice him. So he took him up, and when he was going to plunge the knife into him, God provided. God provided the ram. See, Abraham had the vision that he was going to have a great nation. Then the death of that vision, and then the vision came about again. That's a principle that you see all the way through Scripture. So to you and to me today, has Abraham remembered? How do you remember Abraham? You know, that's a question that you have to answer. Joseph. Joseph had a vision that his father, his brothers, and the people in this country would bow down to him. His father told him that, you know, this was nonsense, that his brothers and that he was not going to bow down to their sibling. So what happened as a result of that? Joseph was sold into slavery. And when he was put into slavery, he went into Potiphar. He was accused of raping Potiphar's wife. He was put into prison. And he stayed in prison for a period of 4 or 5 years. Two guys came into his existence. They were the butler and the baker of Pharaoh. They had a dream. Joseph interpreted. Anyway, one of them was put to death. The baker was put to death. The butler was restored to his glory. He was to serve Pharaoh again, which he did. Pharaoh had a dream. Nobody could interpret the dream. But the butler, 2 years later, he says, aha, there is a Hebrew that's in prison. And he can interpret your dream. So Joseph interpreted the dream. Joseph became the second in command in Egypt. And as a result of that, the Israelite nation was saved. Read the story. Jacob, about 40 people came into, 40 to 70 people, I believe, came in. They went into the land of Goshen. And the Israelite nation was saved. How do you remember Joseph? How do you picture him? And if you study typology in the Bible, he's a type of Christ because he saved his nation. Moses. All you remember Moses? Moses had a vision of leading his people out of bondage in Egypt. What happened to him? Well, Pharaoh and the people ran him out. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. Moses went, got married. One day while he was tending sheep, saw a burning bush up on the side of the mountain. Went up there and the Lord told him, said, you're going to be my man. What did he tell him? Lord, I can't speak very eloquently. I can't do this and I can't do that. So the Lord told him, he said, you don't have to do that. He said, I'm going to give you somebody to speak for you. I'm going to give you Aaron. I'm going to let him speak for you. Read the story. After the first three plagues and what have you, Moses took over. He realized that who God was and what God could do. And when he realized what God could do in his life, he became a changed person. God got hold of his life. He got his attention. He gave Moses signs and wonders, gave him 10 plagues that he went through, and he went through the situation down there in Egypt. Long story, he led his people out of bondage. How do you remember Moses? Do you remember him as a guy that saw the burning bush? Do you see him as a guy who allowed God to get his life in tune? And when he got his life in tune, then God was able to use him. See, some of you, at this time that you're sitting in here, you're seeing the burning bush, but you're just looking at it. You're not willing to approach it and allow God to tell you what he wants you to do. I fit that mold for a number of years. Taught Sunday school, deacon, for about 23 years. Then when I was 31, the Lord got a hold of my life, and I decided to find out what the burning bush was all about. See, Moses never changed until he went before the burning bush to find out what the burning bush was all about. When he got there, he found out that God was real. He found out that God could do some things in his life. All of the things that he threw up, God counted them. He said, I can't talk. So God told him, he said, well, I'm going to give you a mouthpiece. I'm going to give you iron. Things happened. So how do you visualize Moses? The disciples, they had a vision that God was going to be here and he was going to set his kingdom up on earth. Jesus came. How do you think those disciples felt when Jesus was crucified and he was put in the tomb and he was dead? Do you believe that the dream ended? I think probably so. But God had something else in store. He raised Jesus from the dead. He resurrected him. What happened to the disciples when Jesus was crucified? Every one of them scattered. Peter denied him 3 times. I don't know the guy. I don't even know who he is. I've never been associated with him. Then when Jesus appeared back to him on the Sea of Galilee, he says, tell Peter that I'm going to be there. 3 times he told him, he said, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Bill, I want you to feed my sheep. Margaret, I want you to feed my sheep. Todd, I want you to feed my sheep. Are you listening? Is the bush burning? Every one of the disciples before Pentecost denied Christ. Read the scripture. After Pentecost, when the Spirit was given, I don't find any record in scripture where the disciples denied Christ. Paul came back in the 3rd chapter of Philippians, 10th verse, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. That I may know Christ in the power of his resurrection. That I may know him. Paul. Did he have problems? Yeah, he had problems. Read the scriptures. First two churches that he was in after Christ got a hold of him on the Damascus Road. First two churches that he was in, he was run out of. And when he was run out of the second church, that was a period of about 8 to 14 years. When he went back to Tarsus, he went to tent making. But when he comes back, he's a different man. Major Thomas, head of torchbearers, he said he was put in a pit of correction. I don't know where he was put. The only thing I know is that when he came back, he was different. What was the difference? Well, I think God had gotten him to a point where he could get his attention. See, he'd seen the burning bush. But it's what you're going to do with the burning bush. You know, a lot of us see things, but it's what you're going to do with them. How do disciples remember? How do you remember the disciples? 11 of them did what God wanted them to do. One of them killed himself. Lesson in that. God talks in the Word, he talks about a grain of wheat. Now, I'm going to use this grain of wheat. All of us are familiar with it. The grain of wheat, except you put it in the ground, it will not reproduce. My question to you this morning is, how do you perceive the grain of wheat? Do you look at it as a grain of wheat? Or can you visualize what it will become? See, if you are willing to die to self and to take up your cross and follow Christ daily, then you can visualize what God can do in your life. And that grain of wheat represents your life. And if you're not willing to put the grain of wheat in the ground and die to self, then you will never attain what God wants as far as your life is concerned. Can you visualize the seed? Can you visualize it being put in the ground? And can you visualize what it will be? And when you put that grain of wheat in the ground, the things that are going to come up, we're going to have weeds that are around. There are going to be things in your life that are going to change you one way or the other. See, life, everywhere you go, you got to make a decision. There are choices. You got to make that decision, which choice you want. And what you want to do. The grain of wheat that you put in the ground, you either visualize it as a stalk with a head on it that has become a multi-grain, or you visualize just a single grain. This is how you think about it. The question is, how will I, personal pronoun, be remembered? Will I be remembered as a grain of wheat? Or will I be remembered as the grain of wheat that is put in the ground and is resurrected, and in that resurrection, I have a head of wheat? See, the choice is up to you. What you want to do as far as your life is concerned. Romans 12:1-2. Take your Bible that's in front of it and turn there, if you would, please. Got my old buddy ZT. He's smiling up at me this morning. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. Now, what Paul is telling you, and he's telling me, is you got to change the way that you think about things. That you can't be conformed to this world, but you need to be transformed. And the only way that you're going to be transformed is by the renewing of your mind, how you think about things. Now, all of these people that I've given you an illustration about this morning, do you think that their thinking was changed in the process of life? Yeah, I think it was changed. I'll give you three things. Faith. Faith is visualizing what God wants to do in my life. Visualizing what God wants to do in my life. Having a vision. God tells you without a vision, my people perish. It's visualizing what God wants to do in my life. Hope. And all of these come from 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse. The greatest of these is faith, hope, and love. Hope is anticipating and expecting God to work out His revealed will in my life, even when it doesn't seem possible. Anticipating and expecting God to work out the will in my life when circumstances don't seem like it's going to happen. Love. The motivation to produce Christ's character in others as He has done in me. The motivation, the willingness to reproduce Christ's character in others as He has done in me. The motivation. Somebody's got to motivate you to get up off of your duff and get moving. Lord says the fields are white unto harvest. And we are playing church. I'm going to read one other thing to you, and this will be the culmination. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, he meditates day and night. In His law, he meditates day and night. He thinks about it day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Wonder why the psalmist denoted that the tree is going to be planted by the rivers of water. It says it bringeth forth its fruit in its season. So you're only on earth for a season. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's one way of life. It should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf shall also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. This is the other way of life. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Two roads. You're either on one or the other. Revelation 3:15 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's 3:20. The other one is talks about the hot and the cold. Either hot or either cold. If you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So you're on one road or the other. You can't be in the middle. You're on one road or the other. Psalms tells you, said if you're on the right road, you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. And whatsoever he does will prosper. If you're on the other road, on the ungodly road, you're like the chaff which the wind blows away. The ungodly are not so. They will not sit in the congregation with righteous people. And that doesn't mean here. That means when you've died and been resurrected and gone to heaven. If you're on the right road, you've accepted Christ, you're going to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going to be in his presence forever. If you do not have that relationship, according to Scripture, and this is not according to Bill Wright, you're going to hell. And there's going to be torment day and night. You may not believe that, but it really doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. You only have one life to live and one life to save. Because the Scripture says, at the end of time, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So one of these days, it may be too late. You've got a choice that you need to make this morning. And that choice is whether you want to get on the right road or you want to stay on the other road. If you're on that road. If you're on the right road, then you may want to rededicate your life and allow God to have first control. Have control over your life. You may have seen the burning bush many times in your life. You may have been in church all your life. But you may not have been to the burning bush where you needed to take your shoes off and walk on hallowed ground. That's what God told Moses. He said, this is hallowed ground. Take your shoes off. I want to do something with your life, Moses. And that's what God is saying to us this morning. I want to do something special in your life. Decision's yours. As we stand to sing, hymn number 448. You have a decision that you'd like to make, if you'd like to pray with me, if you'd like me to pray with you, be glad to do so. Okay? Take your helmets and turn to 448.